So
This is our first conversation.
I know, I'm excited.
I am too. Okay. So, you want to lead? Go ahead.
Hi everyone. Welcome in. Thank you for tuning in. It is a pleasure to be here. Again, I'm very grateful that we decided to do this together, and I'm honored to be here and share this space with you, Miss Paula. My name is Deshae, you guys. I am a brand developer. And this conversation is going to be a great one. I feel like not only will my generation be able to benefit from this, but also everyone else is in the generations before me, because as things are continuing to grow and evolve, we got to catch up. And so, Paula, let's jump right into it.
Well, thank you, Deshae, and it's a pleasure being here with you. My name is Paula Washington. I'm a business strategist and coach and consulting. And our show is called Encore: Wisdom Meets Wonder, where experience meets curiosity. And so we want you, every time you tune in, to hear or ask questions, and hopefully your curiosity not only will be piqued, but you'll have solutions. Questions that you've been thinking of and what, and not having someone to kind of bounce that or brainstorm that idea. So today's segment, we're talking about how do we manage in transition, and what that looks like from a business perspective is the great exit strategy. So what does exiting with intention mean to each generation? So Deshae, tell me what that would mean to your generation. Having a exit strategy.
Okay, whoa. So this I'm a little nervous.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you for allowing me to keep it real. But yeah, wow. Okay, so that is a layered question. In my experience, I feel like what I'm seeing now, Gen Z, we are actually treating exit strategy as like a sort of like a stepping stone. From someone like myself, I have never been the type of person where I'm just complacent. And I didn't realize that everybody doesn't have this mindset. And so, thankfully, just over the years of me talking to other people and working with other people, I realized that we're more fluid when it comes to moving around, and we are less apologetic about walking away from things that no longer serve us. Another thing too that I want to bring up too is the millennials that came up before us. They may associate it with intentional exits and concerning their mental health, self-preservation, boundary setting, and then just wanting to truly be free from toxic work culture. So for me, exiting with intention means leaving a place with clarity to move forward. Most importantly, my peace. Like anybody that knows me knows, like, I don't play about my peace. So if I gotta cut it, I will, and I'll think about the consequences later. For some, that may, be very chaotic, but for me, I feel like better safe than sorry when I have that mindset. And I like having a purpose-driven next step too, all at the same time. So I do realize that it's not me quitting, but it's more so just closing the chapter with my gratitude. That's important. So hopefully I answered your question with, clarity.
I think that's excellent because, one of the things that we have to realize, especially our generation and yours and the ones to come, is that every generation has a different way that they move in the world. And so, but the basic business strategies of having an exit strategy, whether it's within a job role, whether it's in within the company as an organizational structure, or it is a deal or a project or anything like that, we plan an exit strategy from a risk management perspective. But now, how do we take that down to my personal viewpoints in my personal life? Well, depending on the stages of life you're at, in decades of your life, whichever decade you're at, you're going to start to think about in your 40s towards your 50s, okay, now it's time for me to start planning that exit strategy because I may not want to work in my 50s. I may not want to work in my 60s, but what am I going to do? What is my passion project moving forward? Am I going to move into entrepreneurship? Am I going to buy a franchise, set up a legacy business, or am I going to go get a new career? That's my passion career, and I can take all this experience that I've had over the years and leverage that and really make a difference and help people while making money as well. I believe in making money. It's very important. And then also, we're looking at the different stages of life for individuals, especially women, when we're looking at, parenting, whether you're a single parent or you're married and what have you, whatever the family dynamic is, then you also have the caregiving role that is going to happen. It's not that it's not going to happen, it's going to happen. So you have to prepare for that. And that's extremely important from an economic perspective. From a support perspective. Also, how are you preparing your children to exit one stage of life to the next? From elementary school, going into middle school, there's an orientation. Then going into high school, there's an orientation. Going into college, there's an orientation. And then when you start a job, there's an orientation. But there is no orientation for life. So when we're talking about an exit strategy, we're talking about a strategic life plan and looking at those decades moving forward.
Well, I also wanted to add to just a nuance about me. I don't have any children, and I'm not married. And so I think, in me just saying like sometimes I'm okay with just closing a chapter, sometimes without a plan. I have definitely matured in that area, and I realized that I can't operate like that, the day that I decide to have kids and I'm married. So, it really just depends on really where you are. And I have had people say to me like, "Oh my God, you're just so, you just move with freedom and ease, and you're okay with just like starting from scratch." Yeah, that's because I don't have anything to lose at this point. You know what I mean? So I'm still in that beginning stages of building, because I'm young still, So it really just depends on where you are and where you see fit for your situation.
Absolutely, because the level of responsibility and stage of life is key regarding exit strategies. Being able to project where you want to be in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, or 90s is extremely important. I have a whole decade plan in my book, the Encore Playbook on Bold Strategy for Women Redefining Their Life. And I have a timeline in there from 20 to 90 that I used to teach my after-school kids. And they loved it because they could put in each decade what they wanted to see. And so they had an idea of what they wanted to project to. And then we kind of backed into it very loosely. And so now they had a plan. So now they had something that they can move forward with. And however that plan changes or whatever happens in life, at least they had a structure. And having that structure is extremely important because, in your 20s, you can do what you want. That's a time, that's a time of discovery. Yeah, that's a time of discovery. You hit your 30s, you should be mastering something. You should be focused and mastering something, and you should be have that attentiveness and intuitiveness about the direction you want to go in your career or in your business or what it is you plan to do in life. And then when you're in your 40s, that's the middle age that starts the middle life for when we're talking about menopause and all this other stuff. And then also the kids are going to college and you're getting older and so forth and so on. And there's so many different nuances to life, but each decade has a specific role and has a lesson that it's going to teach you. And so, yes, you will face challenges. They are going to come. And they'll pop up out of nowhere, and then sometimes you'll be prepared for it. But having an outline gives you something to work from, and that's why it's extremely important to start to do that. And as we mature, we do it.
You said having an outline.
Yes,
Could you?
because yes.
I was about to say give the people at least two pointers for creating like an outline, especially for people that may be walking into their 30s like me. I'm walking into my 30s. So now that I will say I have done a lot of it could be perceived as irresponsible, but I will say it definitely yielded me the results in entrepreneurship that I don't know of any other 20-something-year-old has been able to experience. So that's the flip side of it, but it doesn't always work out like that. But I mean, when I tell you I had some blind faith and I didn't realize the level of faith that I was already having without me really understanding what faith was so young, you know? So I guess like what would be an outline you would give somebody that's like, you know, they done went through their 20s and they done tried everything, been successful, been up, been down, been back up. Like, what would you tell them to start outlining that?
Okay, so and I do have a framework actually, the Power of Decades. So anyway, for the 20 to 40-year-olds, in you coming out of your 20s, you're looking at every area of your life, personal, professional, occupational, and then your social and your relationships. And so in those areas, you're going to drill down what you want to see happen in each of those areas. And in the professional, occupational, or entrepreneurship, whichever one, you know, all three of those together, there's an economic requirement. How much money are you looking to make? How when you're looking to make it? How do you want to make it? And what do you want to do with it? And why is it important? And then how will that affect the other areas of your life? What are you willing to sacrifice? What's the timeline that you want to do it? If you want to give yourself a full decade to make a certain amount or achieve certain levels of success that you consider success, not what other people consider success. But when you're able to attain your goals, that's success. When you even fail at a goal, that's success because you're really not failing. It's just not the right strategy or it wasn't the right time. So that's not a failure. That's moving forward beyond that. And when that opportunity comes again, you'll have the wisdom to know exactly what to do with it. So being able to sift through those different categories of life, align those categories with your financial goals, which is number one, and then moving into them one step at a time. So yes, they have the 3, the 5-year plan and the 10-year plan, and you hold it loosely. Because the way that the world changes, life changes, situations and circumstances can happen. Your 3-year plan can go out the window. You're young, you're single now, you're enjoying your life, you're doing what you want to do. And then you may meet someone and decide to get married. Well, and that's a wonderful thing, but that's going to change the dynamic of your plan. Now you will still have the plan. And the person you align with should align with your plan and you with theirs. But that does not mean that there won't be a change and a blending. So even with getting your dream job, many people get their dream job. I had a client that, you know, I worked with her for about 2 or 3 years, getting her up to that level for high level leadership. She got her dream job, was loving it, making the money she should. And then all of a sudden, because of what's happening in the politics now in the government, the company lost its contract. And so now she is not back where she started because I had her set up a consultant company with all of her skill sets that she could always work on the back end. But there are other people that didn't have a alternative idea. See, the thing about being able to leverage your wisdom, your experience, and expertise is to never go without an idea. You know, a lot of times my generation was taught, go to work, go to college, you work 30 years and retire
And get a pension.
and get a pension and sit around. That's what we were taught because that was the way the world framed everything. However, it didn't leave the option for the entrepreneur, for the creative. And what happens if it doesn't work? What happens if you end up getting divorced and now you've got to raise these children by yourself? What happens if you get sick? What happens if this or that or the other? So I've always advised my clients to have an alternative business or alternative revenue streams, whether they're passive or active. So you should consider at least 5, 3 passive and 2 active, because you can work a job and do something else as well. Not everybody is a business owner or an entrepreneur, and I get that. But there are ways that you can generate income to support yourself and sustain yourself in case something does happen. as with COVID. People saw that. You know, they realized the job they were on were not paying them. They realized a lot of places they were spending their time and they were stressed out over the edge. And when they were home, and had income, they had the time to reevaluate, wait a minute, I'm more than what I settled for. You know, but that also comes with planning, exit strategy, risk management, knowing what type of person you are, and if you're a self-starter or if you're not, if you're risk averse or you're not, you know, all these different things come into play.
This actually moves us quite amazingly into our next segment, wisdom perspective. So this is where we're talking about the active strategic career transitions and graceful departures. So just talking about the power of those clean exits with proper notice, final deliverables and energy maintenance, and how exiting isn't always dramatic. It can be silent, intentional, and sacred. So for me personally, I want to, just share. I hit a second aha moment in the midst of COVID. That was actually around the time that I launched my second stream of income within my first business. So I had a service-based business, and then I also launched a retail line, extremely successful. And what I realized is that I started transitioning after I had that aha moment. What do you do when the world shuts down and you can't see or touch people? You opt for virtual calls or consulting or having a retail product line, or what do you even do if tariffs shoot up, right? So what I had to think fast.
Well, you know, the thing about entrepreneurs, we are very inventive and creative people.
Yes.
Because I believe, you know, entrepreneurs and people, unfortunately, that have illnesses, we're like the number ones that have real faith. Because we got to believe God for everything. Okay.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's so funny. I was at a meeting many years ago when Zoom first had opened and they were marketing their program here in Georgia. And I met with the CEO of it, and I met all of them and everything like that. They were talking about, you know, what the future of Zoom would look like. And then COVID hit, and the vision they had manifested. Now, that wasn't how they saw it would manifest, but it did. And everybody's on the Zoom. Families are on Zoom talking to grandparents and talking to cousins and everybody. People are on Zoom making doing business. Companies decide, well, everybody's got to stay at home. Let's keep the business, the ship moving, and let's get online and let's start working and doing things differently. And growing up, there was a cartoon called The
Yes.
Jetsons,
I knew you were going to say that.
and you know, that was a big deal. You know, as a little kid for me, growing up watching The Jetsons and the push button, that this and that and the other thing. Well, that was, you know, it introduced the microwave, it introduced the cell phone, it introduced the type of transportation, and also the way we work. You know, and
Yeah.
different things of that nature. So, you know, you may go from the Flintstones to the Jetsons, you know what I mean? And
Yeah.
understanding the origin of that, you know, even from the dial-up telephone to the cell phone, how did that manifest? You're looking at from I started on a typewriter to the electric typewriter to the computer. And so now we have laptops and everything, all this other stuff. And understanding that origin, but from our generation, being taught how to critically think and make decisions because of the different revolutions, the technology revolution, the industrial technology revolution, all of these different revolutions that have happened over the decades and centuries have required us to step up into different places. However, your generation and the newer ones coming, they have no clue how everything was. All they know is what is. So they are on these devices and on these devices, and they're not using their brain and their creativity. But then when you have the entrepreneur or the artist or the creative individual, that's a natural. Okay, well, hold up. You know what? We don't have any clients. I got all this product sitting here. I got to come up with an idea. Okay.
Exactly.
How are we going to get it out the door? Okay, we're going to offer a special this month. I understand all of y'all at home and dot, 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 dot. This is what we're going to do, and we're going to ship it, and this is, and that's how we are. That's we will come up with an offer in a minute, come up with a idea in a minute. And those, you know, the same thing for working. There are a lot of people that need to have that one-on-one a fellowship, and they
Yes.
had to learn how to connect with people online, which a lot was very difficult. I coached many people transitioning out of corporate. You know, they were retiring or what have you, and starting businesses and so forth. And they felt very isolated as an entrepreneur, and they went back to work because they need that fellowship. I had one client, I said to him, I said, well, you don't want to go work a job. So why don't you go to Starbucks and make that your office, or get a co-working space instead of sitting in an office, sit in the general area so you feel productive. So you're meeting and you're around the energy of people and the thought processes and the conversations. And he did, and he was extremely happy because he realized that yes, he can do what he wanted to do. He just has to have the environment to do it. So was it worth it for paying a co-working space? Absolutely. Was it worth it for him going to Starbucks? Absolutely. You know, because it gave him the outlet he needed and he could still be productive and make money.
Yeah. And honestly, I resonate with that as well because I know post-COVID, you know, a little bit after, I was just like, okay, like I can get with, you know, working from home. And I actually did work from home for about a year and a half. But with my personality type, I need human connection in person. I need, like, I resonate with him. And so actually with what it is that I do, I offer virtual or in person. Like
And
I
that's
have,
good.
yeah, I offer sessions in person. So if you book me and we're together for an entire quarter, we can meet up at a coffee shop. Like we could go somewhere together. You know what I mean? And honestly, some people work well, you know, with that. And so, just circling back to how this is all, you know, a part of being in a great exit strategy, I feel like honoring where you are and who you're evolving into is so important because there was a time where I did want to isolate and I'm just like, you know, I'm just overwhelmed. I'd rather just be able to just roll over and open up my laptop and, you know, the clients are there. Whereas now I'm embracing more masterminds in person. I'm embracing going to conferences again. I'm embracing having network events also. You know, or even having like a podcast webinar series in person where we have tea and coffee together and we're actually filming in person. Because I feel like now I'm in a place where my creativity really thrives off of, you know, that human connection and being in person.
And you brought up a good point there because we evolve and grow as human beings. And in the development stage, we don't always need to be around people because we are figuring it out. I remember many times, you know, I've worked in corporate for 20 years as doing training and development and so forth. And, you know, I'm a brainstormer and I'm an extrovert. So I'm going to talk and have conversation. And I'm going to come up with all these ideas. That does not mean I'm going to do everything right away. And it doesn't mean that what I said is what I'm going to do now or ever do it. I'm a brainstormer. You could call me 3 o'clock in the morning. I could come up with a business plan to tell you how to make money and so forth and so on. That's just who I am. So people would hear and talk and engage, thinking, okay, this is the ticket. And they'll get the ride on that ticket. When and then I make the turn, and the reason I'm making the turn is because we're just having a conversation, we're just brainstorming back and forth, and so that's where the like-mindedness comes. You know, there's a difference between people who are visionaries and or visionary leaders than people that are not, and they're one isn't better than the other. All of them are needed, but understanding who we are engaging with, when to engage, how to engage, and what is needed on both parties in a conversation. And so I learned that over time, and I realized, okay, I had to change my behavior and I had to pull it back. So going back to the great exit strategy, in looking at life as a one entity, as like a company, that has different decades in it. You can decide how many decades you think you want to live. And within those decades, you have different floors, you know, 1 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 30, and you figure out what you want to see on each floor, how you want to decorate that building, how do you want to create the legacy in the future. But the legacy is the big portion, and that's the end game. But today, backing into that, what is needed just to get to the next floor or 2 or 3 floors up within your building in the areas of your 20s or your 30s or your 40s or your 50s and so forth? And then what things may occur that will cause me to change my mind? So today we were able to actually kind of unpack a little bit with you about the great exit strategy and exiting with intention and why it's important. Because you know what? We have encore every day. Yesterday's yesterday and who we were was one thing, but today we are a whole new person. It's a brand new day with opportunities, with all kinds of fun stuff to explore and celebrate. And just like with us today we've been planning to do our podcast together, and we did all of the work that we needed to do. And today was our day to launch it. And we're just so excited for all of you who are listening. And I'm just excited to be here with you, DeShay, because this is just like wonderful. I get to understand your perspective and learn from you. And I think that's really good that we can learn to listen to each other.
I was just gonna say, like, the point that's really sticking out to me is just normalizing changing your mind when it doesn't align. And like you said, I like how you said you compartmentalize as a business as a whole. So you have a decade here, a decade there, and what's required to elevate or be promoted to the next level. Like, I had to go through my own self-promotion because I was no longer thinking from the mindset of a service provider. Now I'm thinking as a CEO. So now I value my time even more. So what does that look like for me to get to the next level? So what even is next after CEO level? You know, just all of those things. I'm definitely excited for what's to come through this series, through this podcast that we're doing together. Honestly, I feel like it could be an entire show because it's just so juicy nuggets and gems that's like layered in this. Oh gosh.
Yes, it is. You know, and to be honest with you, we're talking about E, which is E and encore, and the first is exit with intention, which is the exit strategy. But everything has layers. That's why, you can't rush to get somewhere. You cannot rush because you can't get to a place before you're ready. You can't get to a place before it's ready. You're rushing to get to winter time, and we haven't even got to summer yet. Can you just enjoy where you are now, knowing that's coming, having an outline of what you want to see happen, maybe working on a few things in between to keep you encouraged to move forward, but live today. If you could just focus on that, you'd be all right. You know, if we could just focus on where we are, enjoy the moment, engage in the individuals that are with you in that moment. And provide them with the best of who you are, and they come back with the best of who they are. Wow, what an incredible conversation.
I want to lead us into our encore challenge at the end.
Yes, go ahead.
So this is for you to design your personal exit. And so I want you guys to take a moment. So I'm a journaler. I don't know. Are you a journaler too?
Oh, I've been journaling since 1985. I still have journals from back then.
You've
They're in
been, look,
boxes.
you've been a journalist since before I was even thought
I know. Even my daughter too. She's like, So yes, I've been journaling all those years. Yes.
shout out to one of my coaches, Shanika Marie. She actually helped me redefine what journaling looks like. So I found one of my old journals. I was actually 10 years old when I had my first journal.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
I found it at my grandparents' house, and I was looking through, and I was like, "Oh my God, you've been journaling since you were a little kid." Anywho, I want to leave you guys with these 5 points. So, I want to encourage you today to really think about these. So, have I outgrown this space, or am I just uncomfortable? The second one is my peace or purpose being compromised here in this particular space, chapter, job, business, relationship, collaboration, whatever it is that's drawing you to reflect on in that question, go with the first thing that's coming to your gut. The third thing is, have I completed this assignment that I was meant to do here? And this is a juicy question because I think sometimes we don't realize that we may be, it may be perceived as a stagnancy, but like she just said, are you rushing your process? Because sometimes it's a person or it's a lesson that we haven't learned yet. So that's why we're still experiencing that cycle or that thing or that level of stagnancy. Because just really quick, y'all, I wanted to get out of this specific commercial space for some time. And I was rushing that process and rushing it and rushing it. And what I realized is that I was not ready to come out. I was still developing. When I finally got out, doors started to open, and it was a reason why I was still in that particular space, right? So you don't know what it is that is waiting for you on the other side, but don't rush your process, truly. And I mean that. Fourth one is, do I have a vision for what's next, or am I leaving without direction? That's a wise one right there. And then the fifth one is, have I communicated my decision with maturity and clarity? So that's the last one. So I just want to leave you with this point. Exits do not mean failure, you guys. So they're signs of alignment. And the way you leave says just as much as the way that you show up. So use this to really just think, is this a job? Is this a relationship that's needing to exit, or where are you in your life? So it's just going to look different for everyone, but I think that today was such a reflective space. I'm actually encouraged and inspired to do some own reflection today.
Very good. Very good. Very good. And remember, time is your friend.
Yeah.
Always remember, time is your friend. And it will teach you and lead you if you pay attention. So let's be patient in the process and be patient in our progress. And with that, we are signing off for today.
Yes, bye you guys.
Bye-bye.